Well, today we celebrate the event that defines our Christian faith, that moment in history that gave every person a new opportunity for life and a new relationship with God, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I want to start out today with a moment of reflection, just considering, first of all, the day after Jesus died and what that was like for the disciples, but then leading right into what a remarkable difference his resurrection made. So we have a video we want to share. Go ahead and start that. Day that changed the world. The tomb is empty. The king is alive. The promise is true. He is risen. Let's revisit that time when the empty tomb was discovered. And we'll read from Luke's account, Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. If you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, we'll be reading a lot from Luke 24 today. It says, "But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise?' And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and two other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stopping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves, and when he went home marveling at what had happened. The tomb was empty. The tomb that had a large stone put before the opening, it was sealed and had a Roman guard placed in front of it, was empty. The stone was rolled away and Jesus was not there. And not only was the tomb empty, but Jesus visited his disciples shortly afterward. As you continue reading in Luke 24, you read about disciples walking along the road to Emmaus. And Jesus walked along with them. Luke tells us their eyes were kept from recognizing him. They didn't know this was Jesus with them. And they spoke to him about Jesus' death, about the sadness of losing him, and their lost dreams. They said, "We had hoped he was the one to redeem Israel." And in that moment, they doubted their faith that Jesus was the Messiah he had said he was. They also had heard the news, though, of these some of the women from their group who had found the empty tomb and said that an angel spoke to them and said Jesus was alive. And in that moment, Jesus reminded them to trust God beyond their own experience. Trust him beyond what they saw and were believing him. To trust what he had spoken to them. He said, "Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Then shortly afterward, they were finally able to recognize that this was Jesus who was with them all along, and they shared a meal with him. They then went on to Jerusalem to tell the other disciples about their experience. And we'll pick the scripture up in verse 36 of Luke 24. It says, "As they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, 'Peace to you.' But they were startled and frightened and thought it was a spirit. And he said to them, 'Why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your heart? See my hands and feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have.' And when he said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, 'Have you anything here to eat?' And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it before them. And then he said to them, 'These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled.' Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, 'Thus it is written, that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all the nations beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses to these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high.'" Today we celebrate this good news that Jesus returned from the grave. And he spent time with many reliable witnesses after his return to proclaim this truth. In doing so, Jesus showed that the promise is true. Just as God had foretold, his Savior would come and suffer, but then return on the third day. Jesus took the penalty of sin upon himself, and in coming back, overcame all sin and death. He paid the price for all of our sins in full. For every sin that you have ever committed, every sin that you will ever commit in your life, Jesus has paid the penalty for that sin on your behalf. It doesn't take away the guilt. It doesn't take away all the consequences, but it takes away the shame and fulfills God's justice and makes us pure before God. Jesus is the Savior of mankind, and he is Lord. We praise God that we have a Savior. Every person has an opportunity to be forgiven for sin by God himself and to be released from the burden of having that sin and its shame define us and cling to us. The resurrection of Jesus is a turning point in history with significance for all people, for every age, every race, every nation on earth. That moment when Jesus returned, and was the moment when God made forgiveness and restoration to a personal relationship with our Creator possible. From the time of Adam and Eve, when they first disobeyed God, we have been separated from life with God the way that He desired it. And every person has continued that separation that Adam and Eve started with our own selfish disobedience. We have lived as slaves to our sin, slaves to our own self-seeking passions and pride. But God never abandoned us to live under that burden. Even when we double down on our sin, when we insist that we just want what we want, when we're addicted to even the short-term satisfaction that sin offers, God has gently, lovingly, and patiently pursued us, offering us His presence and His strength and the lasting freedom and fulfillment that comes from truly aligning our lives with His will, the way He made us to live. In Jesus, we have the fulfillment of the promise that we can be restored to God. We can be released from the shame and eternal penalty for our sin. In Jesus, and because of His resurrection, we can have assurance of God's grace. We can have assurance that He pardons our past when we put our faith in Him and receive this gift that Jesus has offered. We can have assurance of an eternity in His loving presence. Jesus has overcome this world. He has overcome the obstacles of a sinful world that hold us down, that tell us we're alone, that tell us we are unloved and we are unworthy and incapable. Through faith in Jesus, you can come to know a lasting hope for life and eternity. So you think back on the story or the account of Jesus' resurrection, think about how defeated the disciples felt on the road to Emmaus. They had put their hope in Jesus. They believed that He was Messiah. And then He died. They lost hope. They felt defeated because their dreams would not be fulfilled. They had believed that He would be able to provide something they could not do on their own, but when He died, they felt that all that was lost. Life can leave us feeling defeated that way. The circumstances of life so often seem to stand in the way of the things that we often desire. And sinful temptation promises fulfillment of those desires. Sinful temptation says that we can have what we long for now. We can have belonging and acceptance. We can have success and love if we take them for ourselves. And if we ignore what God has declared righteous and good and seek fulfillment in what the world offers instead. But that sense of fulfillment that sin promises never lasts. It always leaves us wanting for more, and it leaves us feeling defeated again and again. But because we can know that Jesus is Lord and that He has overcome death, we can know that we are never alone, that we have God's love available to us in all circumstances. He has accepted us, and He has made His Spirit available to us in every situation. Just as the disciples found hope beyond the death of Jesus in a bigger way than they ever imagined, we can find hope in every moment of our lives, even when all hope seems lost and we start to feel defeated. When we draw close to Jesus again, we can find victory again. There is victory and lasting satisfaction to be found in Jesus. Jesus' resurrection overcomes defeat. Along with defeat, Jesus' disciples were experiencing great doubt before they discovered that Jesus was returned. Many of them had left homes and jobs and family behind to follow Jesus. They committed themselves fully to their belief that this was the man that God had sent to save them, to redeem Israel. But when He died, that cast doubt on all of their faith. And they doubted His promises. He doubted everything that He said beforehand, that when he told them that he would return. Our world is so full of doubt, isn't it? Who can you trust? Who do you believe in? Who's trying to deceive you? How can we trust anyone outside of ourselves? And then when you think about that, when you think about how limited your own knowledge and experiences is, how can you even trust yourself? There's all kinds of doubt we have about life. When Jesus returned, he answered the doubts the disciples had. Remember what he did when they saw him and they were frightened by him? What did he do? He held out his hands and he said, "Look and see. Feel me. Feel the flesh and bone. See the wounds. It is true that I am returned." He showed them the evidence that he did fulfill his promises. He opened their minds to understand Scripture. He explained to them how he had already taught them was in fact true. And that by dying and then coming back, he was actually fulfilling those promises. We're going to read again from Luke 24, verses 46 through 49. He said, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power on high." He reiterated to them that I've told you these things. I said that this would happen, remember? So he answered their doubts and restored their faith and trust in him. In Matthew 7:7, we read that Jesus said, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you." This is how God answers our doubts. He provides the answers that we need. He gives us knowledge. He offers us direction. He goes with us on the journey. He provides himself to be a faithful and loving provider. In the resurrection, Jesus answers doubts about our worthiness, doubts about our future, doubts about whether anyone cares. He proved himself to be worthy of our trust. First, by giving up his life and doing the hard work of taking on the penalty of sin for us, demonstrating his love by laying down his life. And in doing so, he fulfilled the promises of the prophecies of God. He showed that he is able to do what God had promised, and God is faithful in fulfilling those promises. And then the second way he proved himself worthy of our trust by presenting himself to his disciples after he returned. He made it known to many people that he did not fall short and he did not abandon mankind and never will. To those many witnesses, they were able to go out into the world and share this good news and the fact of who Jesus is. They were able to answer the doubts of all generations of people about the existence of God and about God's love. Jesus' resurrection overcomes doubt about our worthiness and about God's love. And finally, I want to focus on the fact that Jesus returned from the grave. The Bible has other accounts of people dying and coming back. This wasn't the first time throughout the Bible you hear about a resurrection happening. There are even people today who can testify to having what we call a near-death experience, where they have been clinically dead. Yes, I have somebody here, yes. Right? And another, yes. People have had these experiences, and they'll come back and report some pretty amazing accounts of what they've experienced. The point is that Jesus wasn't the first or the last to die and come back, but there's something significantly different about him. Every one of those other people that we read about, and everyone who's experienced it since, have the same experience that all of us will have one day. Our physical life will come to an end, and we will depart from this existence. There's a sense of finality to that, and a feeling of loss that people struggle with. There's fear that comes with it. People have tried throughout history to escape death in so many ways. We continue to try to find ways to overcome death. We try to extend our lives as long as we possibly can. And somehow we try to possibly avoid all the things that could cause us to death in times that we think would be premature. We try to avoid those unknown things. But there's a deep longing we seem to have for eternity. We want to remain forever. We keep pushing for medical and scientific advances to avoid death and lengthen life. And yet death remains inevitable for all of us and for every person we read about who has ever been brought back from the dead. But Jesus was the first to change that and to reveal something more to us about our existence and about God's kingdom. Jesus returned from the grave never to die again. We read it at the end of Luke in verses 50 and 51 in Luke 24. It says that he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. In Acts 1, we read that Jesus was lifted up while the disciples looked on until he was hidden by the clouds. And Mark 16:19 reveals to us that Jesus was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. Jesus physically departed from this world and entered into God's heavenly kingdom where he reigns as King of Kings, pointing to the fact that there is a heaven, there is an eternal kingdom beyond our physical experience here. And because of Jesus' death and resurrection, Jesus is now able to serve as an advocate before the Father for any person who has sinned but has confessed that sin and acknowledge Jesus as the Son of God who has paid the penalty for them. Revelation 1, 17 and 18 says, Jesus' own words, he says, "Fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and Hades." Jesus' resurrection and ascension reveal that there is an eternal kingdom. Our longing for eternity is valid. And God desires every person to enter into his kingdom, to remain with him. Jesus has provided the way. Jesus' resurrection overcomes the fear of death itself. And with that, I want to close with a passage from 1 Corinthians 15, verses 50 through 58. I'll give you a moment to turn to that if you want to follow along. 1 Corinthians 15. Paul writes, "I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable. This mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on the immortal, it shall come to pass, the saying that is written, 'Death is swallowed up in victory.' O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. O death, where is your sting? Jesus is alive. Jesus overcame doubt, defeat, and death. We give thanks to him for that today. Let's praise him with our closing prayer and our final song together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, We do give you thanks today that our lives are changed because of Jesus. We thank you that he went before us. He took the penalty of our sin, and he paved the way for us to remain with you for eternity. Lord, I do pray that you would address our doubts, that you would speak directly to us. You would show us the truth of who you are and who Jesus is, that you would address our feelings of defeat when the world seems too much for us, Lord. Show us that you are enough and that you are here for us. And Lord, I pray that you would help erase any fear we have of death, because we know that through you, we have nothing to fear, Lord. We will remain with you forever. He is risen. And we give you thanks today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.